Hello, and welcome to week 14 of When Pigskins Fly. I'm your host, Erin Wade, and here with me is A-Bun's fantasy expert, Charles Borsos.
Hey, guys.
For those of you at home, Rob showed up to the studio without a tie on today, which, though a minor dress code violation, is a dress code violation nonetheless. So I've benched him for the show's open.
I'm just excited to be out here helping the Buns team. Thanks for the opportunity, Erin.
So what did you think of this weekend's games, Charlie?
Number one takeaway for the week had to be my first round draft pick, Steven Gostkowski, getting back on track. Now, what most analysts don't focus on is getting the number one kicker in the league. I try always to use my first three picks to corner the market on the best three kickers. That way, I can use them as trade bait later in the season.
Nope. Can't do it. Made the same mistake as the Panthers. Just hit the drop. Rob.
You know, it's good to be back, Erin.
What are you doing, Rob?
I figured, now that we've proven I shouldn't be benched, I dip into my Christmas present from Von Miller. Care for a little Von Miller vintage vino?
What?
You didn't get any? Von Miller sent out a personal bottle of wine to every player in the AFC West.
And you?
Okay, maybe not, but it's easier to excuse drinking on the job if it has some loose tie into football.
Okay, well, Rob might not play in the AFC West, but he's certainly got some opinions on it. We'll be recapping the Oakland Chiefs game with Bree later in the show, but Rob, to start things off, let's talk Chargers. They lost another tough one to the Bucs last week. Any concern they'll begin to sit their best players now that they're so clearly out of the playoff hunt?
It would really surprise me if they did. It's not Rivers' style to sit out early, and Gates is still chasing the all-time TD record for tight ends. That's a dumb narrative I actually do buy into. Gates is only two touchdowns away from tying Tony Gonzalez's record, so it wouldn't surprise me if, as the season gets away from them, Rivers starts forcing the ball to Gates in the red zone.
That's only two guys, though. What about Melvin Gordon and the receivers? Great band name, by the way.
First album could be, Snatching Defeat from the Jaws of Victory, which honestly isn't fair to put on Gordon. He's been great this year, but it's only his second season in the league, so he's still got a lot to prove. As for the receivers, I think they're all still vying for a role in this offense once Keenan Allen returns next season. I think Rivers has done a great job distributing the ball, so I don't really love Inman, Williams, or Benjamin as consistent starters, but all three should still be used a fair amount if you need them to fill in as flex options.
Speaking of Keenan Allen, he's going to be the focal point of this passing game when he's back next season. But have any of the other receivers done enough in his absence to earn the number two role in the Chargers offense?
I really don't think so. Travis Benjamin is a nice complementary skill set as a small, speedy receiver, but I've never been particularly impressed with his route running or his pass catching. I think Tyrell Williams is probably the best bet of the bunch to become a real receiving threat in this offense alongside Allen. He's got a traditional big receiver frame and good hands. I just don't think he's been consistent enough so far to have taken the number two role definitively away from Benjamin or from Inman.
And how about my team, the Broncos? They got another win. Go Bongos! But the offense did not look great. Can my pony boys stay gold? Please don't spit take with red wine. Sean will be so angry.
Sorry, was not expecting the Outsiders reference there. Lynch was pretty pedestrian out there on Sunday. Luckily, Simeon was able to get in a limited practice yesterday, and it looks like he might be ready in time for their game this weekend. I'd feel a lot more confident in this offense with him at the helm, but even with Lynch, Sanders is going to be a wide receiver three, and DT's still a solid number two wide receiver.
Now, what should we expect from the running game? Booker bailed owners out with a touchdown last week, but he was awful. 18 carries for 35 yards?
Yeah, that was a mess. Booker's not an elite guy by any means, so if opponents can stack the box against him, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. If Lynch is starting next week, Booker's at best a flex option, but assuming Simeon is back and there's a legitimate passing threat, he moves back to RB2 status.
And that's it for the AFC best. Now let's throw it to the Thursday night recap. So yet again, finals have us coming at you a couple days late, and we're lucky enough to be able to do another Thursday night recap with our esteemed colleague, Bree Steven.
Hi, guys.
So last night saw the Chiefs slaughter the Raiders, which, thank God, since the Raiders are the reason Rob and I lost trivia on Wednesday.
Aw, we really only have ourselves to blame for that one. And the Raiders have the Pharaoh. I can't hate the Raiders. Was a tough loss, though.
For who? Us or them?
Guys, let's get back on track here.
Totally fair, Bree. Back to the game. Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper did absolutely nothing last night, despite usually being really good wide receivers. What happened there?
Last night, the Chiefs secondary was, they played amazing. Mitchell and Roberts especially, they were like blankets. I thought they did a great job covering them, and Derek Carr really couldn't get to his options. He had to rely really kind of on Rivera, and I thought that was really good on the Chiefs' defense to kind of force him that way.
Yeah, I agree. It wasn't that they made any egregious drops. Their head seemed in it. They just were covered. Defense looked really strong. So I agree completely with Bree. You just gotta tip your hat to the defense sometimes.
All right, and on the Chiefs' side of the ball, Travis Kelce had his fifth straight 100-yard receiving game. Is he the number one tight end in fantasy right now, or am I just seeing quintuple?
Well, since Gronk is out, you know, I feel like you could give it to him. I feel like you could. Even though he didn't have a touchdown, those yards are amazing. I don't know how you guys' leagues are set up, but I know ours is a point per 10 yard in my family league. So he would have been beautiful last week for me, especially since my matchup came down to the wire and, you know, I didn't edge it out, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think I'd still put him in the number three spot between Jordan Reed and Greg Olsen just because they've been doing it for longer. But he's been unstoppable lately. He's finally playing like the guy a lot of people drafted him to be this year. Just a dominant force, and Alex Smith, I don't know how the light bulb finally went off for him to realize he needs to use him. But he's finally actually throwing him the ball. Maybe that Macklin injury ended up being a good thing for this Chiefs offense.
Yeah, I really agree. Alex Smith looked great last night. Usually I'm used to the check down, nothing over 10 yards, Alex Smith. This guy was really, he was throwing darts. And I was like, who is this? Like, what happened?
Yeah, it was fun to watch. It was great. So yeah. Chiefs are playing some exciting football right now on both sides of the ball. And I think Travis Kelce is going to keep being a big part of that.
And how about Tyreek Hill? I'm not his biggest fan for personal reasons, but has he finally established himself as more than just a gadget guy?
All right, before we go into this, just let me give a quick spiel about Tyreek Hill as a human being. A lot of people know he came into the league having pled guilty to a domestic abuse charge where he choked his pregnant girlfriend. Fantasy football is supposed to be something we do for fun. I know some people make a little money on it, but the real goal is to just kind of add a new element of enjoyment to watching the game. So for any of our fans that don't want to be playing Tyreek Hill, don't want to own Tyreek Hill, don't want to look at Tyreek Hill because it means you have to root for him, I completely understand that. This is about enjoyment of the game and being able to root for some guys that maybe aren't on your own team. So we are still going to talk about every fantasy relevant player on this podcast, but if you guys opt to not put someone like Tyreek Hill in your lineups, that is a decision that we not only get, but can very much put some weight behind in supporting. That being said, let's break down how the kid actually played last night, because he is doing very well on the field.
Yeah, that punt return, I don't even remember how many yards it was for, but that doesn't need to be explained, because that kid was really playing.
Yeah, I think it was something like 75 yards. It's just quick as anything I've ever seen. And The thing beyond that I think is being added to Hill's game is he's becoming a kind of proper second wide receiver or number one guy in this offense. A lot of times, you know, looking back on his earlier stuff, you see a lot of jet sweeps or, you know, pitches or some like short pass to the outside, some sort of bubble screen to just get him in open space so he can make the move himself. I thought he was actually catching passes that you'd see a traditional wide receiver catch last night, which adds something to his game.
Yes, I totally agree. Especially, it really helped out Alex Smith also. I mean, I know the Raiders defense it's been pretty shaky throughout the season, but they really were clicking on all cylinders, especially with Hill, and that opened things up for Kelce, especially in the middle. So he played great last night, I agree.
So that being said, if you can get any part of this Chiefs offense right now, they are really looking good and could really help you out in the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah.
All right, that's all for our Thursday night recap. Thanks for joining us again this week, Bree.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
And now it's time for some news and notes. First, Jason Pierre-Paul is out for 6 weeks with a non-fireworks-related injury. The NFL reported Wednesday that he had surgery for a core muscle injury. What's this mean for our lovely listeners?
Basically, that Ezekiel Elliott is going to run for a billion yards. Giants lose easily their best defensive player with JPP out. I already really liked Elliott, Dez, and Dak in this matchup, but this should make fantasy owners feel even better about starting those guys. Sad to see a guy of Pierre-Paul's caliber go down, though.
In other elite defensive player injury news, we saw Earl Thomas go down hard on Sunday. He's out for the rest of the season with a broken tibia, and he tweeted a half hour after he left the field, "A lot is running through my mind, including retirement. Thanks for all the prayers."
Like Thomas's teammate Richard Sherman, I'd be very surprised if Thomas retired after this injury. I think that was probably more of an emotional reaction to a really frustrating injury, but that's not super clear right now. In the meantime, though, what this means for fantasy owners is equally unclear. Thomas is obviously a big part of the Seahawks defense, but there's so much talent in this secondary that you're still not going to feel great about starting any wide receivers against them. They aren't the 2012 Legion of Boom anymore. You should still start your studs against Seattle, and now you can feel a bit more confident doing that, but Thomas going down doesn't make this an easy matchup.
And hearkening back to the cold open, Cam Newton was benched for the opening drive of the game last week for not wearing a necktie.
Yep. If we didn't make our opinion clear with this on the open, that was a dumb thing to do. Luckily, Anderson threw a pick that opening drive, so the instant karma ended up all over Ron Rivera's face, and I don't think he'll be doing that again anytime soon. Not something owners need to worry about going forward.
And in other QB news, Robert Griffin III has been taken off IR and is expected to start for the Browns this week.
As a shameless RG3 truther, I'm psyched about this one. Honestly, I have no idea what to expect from Griffin's arm at this point, but it's not like he can play much worse than the other guys that they've had to throw out there this year. The big benefit to the Browns' offense, weirdly enough, is going to be to Isaiah Crowell. Historically, RG3's running backs have put up much better numbers when he's starting because the defenses have to respect the threat of either Griffin or the running back carrying the ball. I'd start Crowell in all leagues this week.
And finally, Tom Brady won his 201st career game, beating out Peyton Manning for the all-time record for QB wins.
You know, there's a reason Joe Flacco has a Tom Brady poster hanging in his bedroom.
To be clear, he had a Tom Brady poster hanging in his room, and it was actually his little brother's room, which Flacco stayed in when he lived at home with his parents between his rookie and second seasons, according to the NFL. As someone born and raised in New York State, what's weirder than Flacco sleeping under a Brady poster to me is that he ever willingly went back to New Jersey.
Climb every mountain, ford every stream.
And our listeners thought they might be able to get through an episode without hearing you sing, Rob.
Well, we can't avoid me breaking into the Sound of Music soundtrack if we're going to be talking about streaming.
And here I thought we were going to have a Netflix joke.
Nah, I don't want to step on any Friday Five running jokes.
I don't know. I would Netflix and chill with you, Landry.
When pigskins fly, don't steal no jokes.
In any case, let's talk streaming. To start us off, Rob, why don't you explain what streaming actually is?
The idea of streaming is that you don't have one player or defense that you plan on using at the position week in and week out. Rather, every week, you're going to look at all the available players and their matchups, and then add the best one to your team, dropping the one you used the week before. That's where the name comes from, this idea that you have a stream of players going in and out of your roster every week.
Now, this isn't a thing that you would recommend for every position, right?
Definitely not. I would say this really only makes sense for quarterbacks and defenses, since both positions are much more matchup dependent and more widely available on the waiver wire.
So how do we go about evaluating who to use as a streaming option?
It's a balancing act of two items. How good is the player or defense, and how bad is their opponent? When evaluating which defense to stream, I tend to weigh their opponent much more heavily, since a bad opponent is more likely to generate the turnovers you need to score points, even against a subpar defense. When evaluating quarterbacks, I go in the opposite direction, though, since a bad quarterback is often unable to actually take advantage of even a great matchup. The thing is, you're rarely choosing between these two extremes. It's more likely shades of gray that you're debating. There are all kinds of tools out there to help you make this choice. Your site's projections are a good starting point, but the algorithms don't take into account recent personnel or scheme changes a lot of the times, So I'd look in a couple other places as well. Online rankings you trust are a great spot to look. Christopher Harris and Jamie Eisenberg are experts in the field that I personally trust a whole lot. Also, there's a Reddit user named Quick on the Drawl. That's QUICKONTHEDRAWL. And he's really good too.
But the best thing you can do is tweet at us directly at @WhenPigskinsFly, because Rob is already obsessively analyzing streaming options all week, and not working for a national network, he and I have the time to help talk you through our decision-making process. So it seems that Sean heard my joke about Rob doing a spit take with red wine earlier, and he wants us away from the expensive audio equipment. But before he gets too feisty with us, let's give the listeners a breakdown of one game so we can make like Canada geese and get the flock out of here.
Erin, this is a family show. Let's get the peck out of here. Sorry, folks. Anyway, let's spin the wheel. All right. Looks like we're doing Lions-Bears this week.
What? No Tigers? Oh my!
We could switch up to the Bengals if you prefer.
Nah, like Meatloaf says, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. What have you got on these guys?
So, offensively, these teams are about as different as you can get. Until the Bears get Alshon back, they're basically an all-run team. Jordan Howard was able to shoulder the load for them last week, and he should continue to do so this week. Meanwhile, the Lions basically gave up on running after Abdullah went down. You can start Theoretic in PPR leagues, but otherwise, I'd avoid any Lions running backs this week.
How about Marvin Jones versus Golden Tate? Can we count on either guy? Both?
I think Tate is definitely the safer option. He's being used a ton on screens and short passes over the middle that give him a chance to create space in the open field to get yards after the catch. Jones, on the other hand, looked incredible at the beginning of the year, but his production dropped off midway through the season. I think both of these guys could have good games against a really average Bears secondary, but I'd feel much better starting Tate than Jones.
And as a final note in this game, with Jay Cutler out for the season, the Lions' defense is not a bad start if you need a streaming option. Now let's boink, marry, kill, and fly on out of here.
Are we still on this Canada geese bit? You know, I don't think it's very nice to tease people for their phobias.
Watch out, Rob, or you'll walk into the booth one day and find yourself face to face with the world's most terrifying creature, the Canada goose.
You are a mean, mean lady. Can we just boink, marry, kill?
Okay, this week we've got folks at the center of too good to be true, absolutely ridiculous NFL storylines. Cam Newton, who was benched for not wearing a necktie, Von Miller, whose name just sounds like one really formal last name and bought every player in the AFC West a bottle of Von Miller branded wine for Christmas, and Jeff Fisher, who couldn't find his challenge flag in his pocket on Sunday. Go.
All right, so typically, I would kill Jeff Fisher in this situation, but quick shout out to my roommate, Joe Carroll. He was pointing out the other day that we need Jeff Fisher so that we know exactly what a average NFL coach looks like. Without Jeff Fisher, we don't know who should be fired and who should get to keep their job. He's a really great litmus test. So I am going to not commit the rest of my life to this man, but I will boink him. He can't find his challenge flag, but he can find his way into my heart.
Aww.
And now for our two Studly Dudleys. Cam Newton versus Von Miller.
May I make a prediction?
Yeah.
I really think you're going to marry Von Miller.
And why is that?
The glasses. It's really the glasses.
Not just because it's Miller time?
Oh my God, that was so bad.
But you're right. I'm going to marry Von Miller. Not only does he give the gift of free wine, but he doesn't dress like a slob. And I like me a man who can get cleaned up. So I am going to marry Von Miller and kill Cam Newton.
And that'll do it for us this week. Remember, if you have any hashtag fantasy football questions, you should tweet us at @WhenPigskinsFly. We'll see you next week for week 15.
This week's episode featured the track Star Lover Memory by Video Helper, composed by Winter Saba. Thanks again, and as always, keep it spicy. My name is Rob, Rob, Rob. I have a cob, cob, cob. Randall Cobb. Riggity, riggity, Randall Cobb. My name is Rob. I talk about football.